that you put all the Supermans, Spidermans, Batmans, He-Mans, and all the mans. Still, they won't compete to the prowess, and not just the prowess, but the devotion which Hanuman had, what he exemplified, the bhakti shakti, not just the sharirik shakti, but the bhakti shakti. And Hanuman is a personality in Ramayana, and also it is not just Ramayana, but Hanumanji plays a major role even in Krishna Leela. Who knows how Hanumanji plays a major role in Krishna Leela? He is situated on the flag of Arjun's chariot. And in Mahabharata there is a story, we won't go into the details of the story, but Hanumanji has situated himself the flag of Kapidhwaja, it is said, on the flag of Arjun's chariot. And he had promised Arjun that you fight the war, and because my worshipable Lord Krishna, who is not different from Lord Ram, will be your chariot driver, so I have to be where my worshipable Lord is. So you continue fighting the war and I'll contribute from my side whatever I can, even though this is not my yuga of my pastimes. Dwapar Yuga was not Hanumanji's main yuga for his pastimes. So how did Hanumanji contribute? When Arjun would have a combat with some warrior from the other side, so Hanumanji would have a war cry. You know what a war cry is? Sometimes these war, now of course, the wars which we know of this material world, they are nothing. It's just in comparison with Kurukshetra battlefield. These wars are just, you know, some altercation. Not altercation, vad vivad, just like that. So during those times when the war would be ensued, a war cry, and that too of Hanumanji, wo bolte na, pant gili kar dete the. That kind of a simile is given. So Hanumanji was playing a major role even in Krishna Leela and of course in Ram Leela. So the character of Hanumanji is such that he is a servant who is flawless, unblemished, flawless servant. Nobody can point a finger and say that here he was wrong or here he could have improved. In fact, all the fingers will come at us. What are we doing in spite of having Hanumanji as a role model for being such a wonderful servant of Sri Ram? So in our discussion today, we shall be going into what we can learn, how much is his personality relevant to a practitioner. Hanuman Jayanti is not just a festival wherein we come and recite the Hanuman Chalisa or pray for all the tribulations to be warded off in our life. No, it is a day wherein we come together and we try to follow in the footsteps of such a great personality who had not just pleased Lord Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but who had conquered the heart of Lord Ram. And we'll see in our discussion that how did he accomplish that and what we can do in order to serve a personality like Hanumanji in order to follow in his footsteps. So basically, we shall be taking the Sundarkand today. If you know, Ramayana is divided into how many cantos? 7 cantos. And They are called Kandas or Khandas. So we have the Balakhanda, the Ayodhya, the Aranya, the Kishkinda, like that. Sundarkand comes, wherein in this particular canto, it is nothing but the glorification of Hanumanji. Now, the question which arises, that all the other cantos in Ramayana, they have been named depending on the relevance of the pastimes or the personalities which constitute that particular canto. So now when we are talking about Sundarkand, Kand means a canto. Sundar means beautiful. So the question here is that who is that Sundar in Sundarkand now? If we have Ayodhya Kand, wherein the description is there of Ayodhya, we have Kishkinda, wherein the description is there of Kishkinda, we have Aranya, where is the description of Aranya. Sundar Kand, who is that Sundar now? Now, Lord Ram, who is Bhuvana Sundar, is he being referred to as the Sundar in the Sundar Kand? Is it Sita, who is Bhuvana Sundari, the consort of Bhuvana Sundar? No, it is not Lord Ram, it is not Sita, but it is Hanumanji who has been addressed in Sundar Kand as the most beautiful personality. Now how do we reconcile this? What is that beauty of Hanuman which he's been glorified about? Who knows? Devotional service. Something more specific? What is that? Yes, in this particular canto, it is described how Hanumanji united Sita and Ram. So Valmiki Muni, he mentions that anyone who does that task of uniting Sita with Lord Ram is the most beautiful. Now, this is something which we cannot conceive in regards to beauty of what we know of this material world. So, we might think that who is beautiful? Someone who gets, you know, the crowning glory of being Miss Universe or Mr. Universe. Someone who is a celebrity, always on the cover page like that. But herein, Hanumanji is considered to be so beautiful because he is uniting Sita. And who is Sita and who is Ram over here? The symbolic understanding of this is Sita is our lost bhakti. Sita Devi, she signifies our pure devotion unto Lord Ram, who has been kidnapped by our lusty desires like Ravan. So our lusty desires compared to Ravan have kidnapped our bhakti for Lord Ram and have kept our bhakti in captivity. And our bhakti cannot on its own unite with our supreme worshipable Lord Ram. So then there has to be, as they say, a catalyst. Who is that catalyst? That is Hanumanji, a devotee like Hanumanji who comes in our life, just like we have Srila Prabhupada. One sannyasi from America, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was once mentioning, he was glorifying Prabhupada and he compared Prabhupada to Hanumanji who engaged all the monkeys. And he compared that we all Americans and Europeans were like monkeys. Our activities were like monkeys, monkeying around. But Srila Prabhupada was like that Hanumanji who crossed the ocean. So Hanumanji also crossed the ocean. So Srila Prabhupada crossed the ocean and so many tribulations and hardships which he had to face whilst he was crossing the ocean. And then he used all of us, we were like monkeys, to get back the lost Sita united with Lord Ram. So in our lives, in our sadhana, what is our goal? This is what our goal is. Sundar Kant, this canto is the most important for all of us. The goal of our practice of Krishna consciousness is to somehow or the other unite our lost bhakti with Lord Ram. And that can happen only and only when we have the most beautiful of all the personalities like Lord Hanuman, who can do that for us. So therefore, he is that Sundar in the Sundar Kand. Now, Ramayana has been very wonderfully compared to a necklace. Valmiki Muni compares Ramayana to a beautiful necklace. Now, if you have encountered a necklace, necklace is made up of what? Made up of, say, jewels. So there are jewels and, you know, costly stones and like that, which make up a beautiful necklace. So you many times you must have observed, we, you know, put to Radha Madan Gopalji, you know, during Shayan Darshan, we put on, both of them, they have beautiful necklace. But there is something which exemplifies the beauty of that necklace. Yes, you got that. So today when you have darshan, focus on that pendant. So Hanumanji is that pendant. So the necklace, yes, all the personalities in Ramayana, they are like jewels in the necklace around Lord Ram. The necklace is where? The necklace is around the neck of Lord Ram. And all the wonderful personalities in Ramayana, they are like jewels beautifying the necklace of Lord Ram. But what catches the attention of everyone in that necklace is the pendant. And Hanumanji is considered to be that very beautiful, Sundar pendant. And therefore, we are still continuing the theme of how Hanumanji is the Sundar in the Sundar Kand. Now, the triple action formula. I'm using these terms because we are familiar with, you know, all these double action, triple action formula. So the triple action formula in the Sundar Kand refers to three personalities, that is Lord Ram, Sita Devi and Hanumanji. So our acharyas have mentioned that Hanumanji, if compared to the body, then Sita is compared to the soul. And guess what? Lord Ram is compared to the Paramatma. So herein, all these different similes and symbolisms are given in Ramayana just to make us understand that we have to understand the personality of Lord Ram in connection with Sita and Hanuman, and we have to understand the personality of Sita in connection with Ram and Hanuman, and we have to understand the personality of Hanuman in connection with Sita and Ram. Nothing is exclusive. Everything is inclusive. Why our acharyas have given these kind of metaphors and comparisons? Because many times in India, people, they simply want to focus on one personality of a scripture. Okay? For me, only Hanuman. What Ram did with Sita and all, I'm doubtful about. Only Hanuman. Or sometimes people, only Krishna. No Radharani, only Krishna. No other personalities, associates of Krishna. So herein, this particular example first is given about how they are integrated. Hanumanji, Sita, in that particular canto. Then another example is given. Hanumanji is compared to Acharya, Sita is compared to the mantra, and Ram to the mantrartha, artha of the mantra. So what do you understand now with this? Like the previous example, let's take that example first. What is the use of a sharir without the Atma? And Atma without sharir? It's ghost. And then both sharir and Atma without Paramatma, no existence. So here and now, a person might know a mantra from a scripture. Scriptures are replete with so many mantras. So a person might know so many mantras from the scriptures. But that mantra will have the potency only when you get it from an acharya. Just like there are so many medicines in a chemist shop and all the medicines are potent. But when a doctor writes on a prescription, this is what is recommended. So that medicine, when you get it prescribed by a bona fide doctor for your specific disease, has got the relevance. So the mantra has to be received from an acharya. So the connection of the mantra with the acharya is like the connection of Hanumanji and Sita. And what is the use of that acharya who is giving a mantra which has no artha? Why this is so important? Because Ram is considered to be the mantrartha. Because in Kali Yuga, you will find many so-called Bhagavans and upstarts calling themselves and making up their own mantras. That, you know, like there is this bona fide mantras which has the Bija, the Moola, and all of that of the names of the Lord. And then they remove that and put their name. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, herein, so the Naman is done of whom? The Bhagavan who is the son of Vasudev, Vasudev. So, then they remove Vasudev. Om Namo Me. Malab sharam bhi nahi aati. So it's like, imagine if say you have an I card, say a driving license, and somebody steals your driving license, removes your photo, puts his photo, removes your name, puts his name. How will you feel? So it's illegal. Forget about worshipping these people, they should be put behind bars. So therefore, the understanding of Hanumanji with Sita and Ram is like of Acharya, mantra, and mantrartha. Another beautiful metaphor is given. Hanumanji is compared to Shabda, Sita is the Shabdartha, and Lord Ram is compared to the Shabda Rasa. So you have a Shabda, and there is a meaning of the Shabda. Like for example, water. Water is a word and it has a meaning. There is an element called water and there is rasa in that particular thing. Of course, this is a mundane example, but when we talk about spiritual shabda, that spiritual shabda has not just the artha but also the rasa. So here is how in this particular canto, Sita, Ram and Hanumanji have been integrated so very well and presented for our understanding and our deliverance. So this is how we should begin to understand the personality of these three in this particular canto, and of course the whole of Ramayana, which is all inclusive and not exclusive. Now, again coming back to Sundarkand. So essentially, what is Sundarkand? Hanumanji crossing the ocean and reaching Lanka, and then of course meeting Sita Devi, that mudrika of Lord Ram which he gives, and then does something extra also, burns the Lanka, and so much of all that adventures and excitement with Hanumanji does. But there are very important and pertinent lessons we have, you know, given it into 5 pointers. The first is beginning of this, Shravan, the lesson which we learn from that. Second is sadhana. Third is seva. Fourth is sangha. And fifth is prachar. So Hanumanji exemplifies and teaches us these 5 important lessons in just one episode of his, of crossing the ocean and reaching Lanka. Now, if in case you do not know, the details of what all happened, we'll be showing you a small video of just that episode, because we are nowadays into audio visual, that's what registers in our mind more. So we'll be showing you a small video, and this is from Ramayana, and we are just taking the clip from the point Hanumanji, Jambavan, Angad and others, that particular team, they have been deployed to go to the south. Who deploys them? Sugriv. I hope you know Sugriv. So Sugriv, he deploys, because Lord Ram helps Sugriv by killing Vali. So in order to repay, what he does is he deploys all of his monkey armies, and of course Hanumanji is the supreme most, the general in his army. And this particular team, headed by Hanumanji, others, they go to the south. Now, yes, we know, we might have also seen this particular video in our leisure time, but we'll be drawing out lessons now, these 5 lessons. So don't forget these 5 lessons when you watch the video. Because generally what happens when the video starts, we just get mesmerized, and then, you know, everything piche aage part piche sapat type. Baad mein again we have to remind, oh, so by the way, Sundarkand, 5 lessons. So the 5 lessons again we'll be discussing, and this is about, I'll tell you beforehand so that you will watch carefully, that Hanumanji is reminded by Jambavan about his prowess, that he is the only one who can cross the ocean, not anyone else. And then when Hanumanji, he takes that leap and jumps, then the first obstacle, so here we are discussing about the lessons which we learn, are the obstacles which come in the way of Hanumanji's reaching Lanka. So the first obstacle which comes is a mountain called Mainaka. That's the first obstacle. And how Hanumanji deals, what lesson Hanumanji teaches, we'll learn that. The second obstacle Hanumanji meets is Surasa, this demoness Surasa. The third obstacle which Hanumanji meets is Simhika. Somehow the video which I got, they didn't show Simhika. I don't know why. Because it's a very important lesson which Simhika. So you might not see that Simhika coming in the video, but I'll explain to you about that. Simhika, demoness. And then Lankini. It's very interesting that all of these obstacles which came in the life of Hanumanji, was a brahmachari, were all women. So, you know, Simhika, Surasa, Lankini. And then, of course, he enters into Lanka. And that's further, so we won't go into that. We'll just show you. So we can have the lights switched off. बरोबर और लंकिनी एंड द वे शी ट्राइड टू कैप्चर हनुमान जी वॉज जस्ट शी हैड द मिस्टिक पावर दैट शी कुड कैच होल्ड ऑफ एनी वन शैडो हु वॉज फ्लाइंग अबाउ द ओशन एंड शी कुड कैच होल्ड ऑफ द शैडो एंड द ऑब्जेक्ट फ्लाइंग वुड स्टॉप सो दैट वॉज द मिस्टिक power that Simhika had, this technology she had. So that's what she did. And Hanumanji killed. So the previous one, Hanumanji killed Simhika, but the previous one, Surasa, in her case, her desire was that Hanumanji has to enter into her mouth. That was her desire. So Hanumanji, he fulfilled her desire. So she opened her mouth, Hanumanji also became bigger first. She opened her mouth 20 yojanas, Hanumanji became 30 yojanas. She opened her mouth, you know, 50 yojanas, Hanumanji became 60 yojanas. And then when she opened her mouth 80 yojanas, all of a sudden Hanumanji became very tiny, entered into her mouth. And by the time she would close her mouth, which she had widened 80 yojanas, Hanumanji came out. So Hanumanji used his intelligence in regards to Surasa. Mainak we saw. Mainak offered a resting place for Hanumanji. They didn't show, but Hanumanji just respected Mainak, touched Mainak, but didn't accept the facility given by Mainak. And he said that I am on my mission without intermission. So like that. So now when we are again discussing about these five lessons from Sundar Kand. Let's take one by one. The first is lesson number one, Shravan. So, hope you remember now. So, what is the lesson of Shravan which we learn from this episode from the Sundar Kand? Hanumanji hearing from Jambavan. Now, it is mentioned that Hanumanji at that point of time, he didn't have that confidence, although he had the power and the potential, only he had the potential to go and come back, crossing 100 yojanas, flying 100 yojanas and coming back also. So, this potential which Hanumanji had, he didn't know it. So what Jambavan did? Jambavan reminded Hanumanji that you have that power, and he reminded Hanumanji of his childhood, his birth and everything. So the lesson which we learn is that like Hanumanji, we also have the power to cross Bhavsagar. We all have that potential, and Lord Ram has invested, installed that potential within us. As a human being, we can take that leap and we can cross the Bhavasagar like Hanumanji crossed that ocean. The only thing is we have forgotten. So Shravan is so important, which Hanumanji exemplifies, that only by that Shravan, and not just Shravan superficially, Shravan which has to be done very submissively, and Shravan which has to be applied in one's life like Hanumanji applied. So when that kind of hearing is done, then we see it's called the encouragement which Jambavan gave. Now what are all the acharyas doing for the conditioned living entities? Like Jambavan is compared to an acharya who encouraged Hanumanji. So the preaching mission which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started and then of course handed over to all the wonderful Vaishnava acharyas, the entire preaching mission is nothing but encouraging the conditioned living entities to take up to the service the mission of uniting Sita with Lord Ram. So we have to understand that when we come in this hearing process, when we come for the programs, when we hear from the scriptures, the mood in which we should hear is the mood in which Hanumanji heard from Jambavan. It's not just casual hearing. It's not just hearing just, you know, to make sure that, okay, this year's Hanuman Jayanti hearing I have done. This year's Ram Navami hearing I have done. This year's Janmashtami hearing I have done. Tick mark, tick mark, tick mark. Not like that kind of an attendance which we have to put of ours. Encouragement. After we hear about Lord Ram, after we hear about Hanuman, after we hear about Lord Krishna, are we getting encouraged to serve the Supreme Lords? That should be the criterion, and that is the testimony that we have heard properly. If we are encouraged, inspired. So, Srila Prabhupada, one time he was speaking to one of his disciples, Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining about these four human reactions. Very wonderfully Srila Prabhupada worded it out, these four human reactions, which is very much we experience also in our lives, and how we can now understand it in relevance with Hanumanji hearing from Jambavan. So the first human reaction, Srila Prabhupada said, you flatter me, I may believe you. What is flattering? False glorification. Chaplusi. Aap to, aap ye mere uddhar karne ke liye aaye. Aap yo, जो चौदहवें महाजन, तेरहवें महाजन जो भी, so this is called false glorification. So sometimes we may believe also when somebody falsely glorifies us. Many times it happens, we fall in the trap. क्यों नहीं यार, आप बोल रहे हैं तो फिर होना ही पड़ेगा. Then Prabhupada said, you neglect me, then I may dislike you. Neglect is something very painful, and people start disliking those people who start neglecting them. You criticize me, I may never forgive you. I may never forgive you. And then Prabhupada said, but you encourage me, I will never forget you. Now this sounds to be not like a very, very Hare Krishna. Can you play outside in the lawn? Can someone take them? So, when we talk about encouragement, we have to understand that in our Vedic scriptures, whether it is Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the Puranas, for our specific situation, there are episodes, there are passages, there are, as they say, shlok for every folk. In the Vedas, there is shlok for every folk, which means our specific situation, there is the words of encouragement are there. We just have to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right consciousness, like Hanumanji. So therefore, it's not just our responsibility to get encouraged, but it is our sole responsibility to encourage others also in whatever capacity we can. Because Valmiki Muni explains that more than anyone else, we have to thank Jambavan. Although he doesn't appear to be so prominent. Who did all the powerful task, Hanumanji, Herculean task were done by Hanumanji. But the thanksgiving is given to Jambavan, who encouraged, who inspired Hanumanji to get into that powerful mode and accomplish what he was supposed to accomplish. So therefore, in the eyes of Lord Ram, in the eyes of Lord Krishna, a person who has been inspired and a person who has been encouraged, and then it's like a contagious disease. When a person is having that particular contagious disease and spreads that contagious disease, is so much liable. If you don't know about this, many times in this present material world we see people who have contracted diseases like AIDS, they become like sadists. You know, they want others to also suffer like they are suffering. So they somehow make sure that they have that virus in a needle, their own virus, and pin it into someone else's body. And then they enjoy that, okay, someone else has also entered into the, you know, world of AIDS. So how much that person who gives that contagious disease is liable for a punishment. So the opposite of that, it is said that someone who encourages and inspires us to come closer to our mission is so much glorified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So having that honor and privilege of Jambavan encouraging Hanumanji for this wonderful mission. Then lesson number two, sadhana. Now, after Hanumanji was encouraged and he came to know about his potential, we saw how he leaped and then he started to fly, which he never knew that he could do that. He started to fly. So then the first obstacle which came was the Mainak mountain. And the Mainak mountain, immediately it was sent by the demigods. Now what the history of this Mainak mountain is, that at some point of time, these mountains would fly. And many of these mountains would play mischief. They would fly and they would land on some kind of a township and destroy the entire township. So Indra was very angry on these mountains, and Indra started to cut off the wings of these flying mountains with his thunderbolt. And Mainak took shelter of Vayudev, and Vayudev protected Mainak from the thunderbolt of Indra. So Mainak had that obligation that the son of Vayu, Hanumanji, is coming, so I should render some service out of obligation unto the son of Vayu. Pavanaputra Hanumanji is coming. So herein Mainak offers himself, you know, to Hanumanji. We saw a resting place. Yes, you are going on such a long journey, 100 yojanas. How much is 100 yojanas, you know? One yojana is 8 miles. So into 100. 8 miles or 80? 80. 8, na? 8 miles. So into 100. That is how much Hanumanji had to fly. So Mainak is offering this. So in our sadhana, what is the lesson which we learn is Mainak is compared to the facilities which we will get when we start serving Lord Ram. And this is the test which will be put forth by the devatas who are assigned by Lord Ram. So many facilities will start coming. So initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, our life is very simple. But then when facilities start coming, then the danger, if we don't use that facility in Krishna service or Ram service, the danger is complacency. Complacency means then we sit on Mainak mountain, and after sitting, it was not just Hanumanji knew. It enters like a needle, comes out like a spade. So I will, if I just make this mistake of sitting on this Mainak mountain, that one silly mistake, then Mainak mountain will offer me some drink, some food, you know, now lie down. Don't just sit down, lie down, massage and arams. So Sugriv, it happened with Sugriv. I didn't show that. But while Lakshmanji was angry on Sugriv, because Lord Ram helped Sugriv, and Sugriv, there was a pact that Lord Ram will help Sugriv and Sugriv in turn will help Lord Ram to find Sita. So after he was being helped and everything was okay now, you know, everything was hunky-dory, then Sugriv, you know, he was just busy with his sensual activities. And then Lord Ram didn't say anything, but Lakshmanji said, what nonsense is going on? You are not fulfilling your promise. So then Sugriv was shaken up from his slumber of all the enjoyments he was in. So herein Hanumanji was very, very conscious. That's the quality. Hanumanji was very, very conscious and cautious that this Mainak is a trap. This facility which is coming is not a facility, it's an obstacle. So therefore, if Hanumanji, such a great acharya, such a great pure soul, can show by his example that how facilities, if not, Hanumanji thought, how will I use this Mainak in the service of Lord Ram right now? How? Like Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk. And there were other disciples behind Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he saw a big huge mansion. And Prabhupada said, so one day we should have a big huge mansion like this for Krishna. And everyone, Jai Srila Prabhupada. All the disciples behind, Jai Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada walked ahead. And then there was a big huge limousine. You know what a limousine? It's a huge car. In the West they have these huge limousines. It's almost like a train, a bus. But it's a car. It's a luxury car. So Prabhupada saw a limousine just, you know, coming across the road. Prabhupada said, one day we will have a limousine like this for Krishna. Yes, Jai Prabhupada. And then a little ahead, a big huge dog passed by. Prabhupada said, one day we should have a dog like this for Krishna. Everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked back. What Jai? What will we do with a dog? So use some intelligence. Don't just say Jai, Jai, Jai. Dimag laga. Jove Jai, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So our Hanumanji also thought that this Mainak is offering some service. What this Mainak can offer or render service at this point of time for me? It is a trap. This facility is a trap. And that was the lesson which Hanumanji, he showed that in sadhana, complacency comes when we get the facilities, which is a byproduct of performing sadhana. The facilities which come, it's a byproduct. What are the facilities? The facilities are that we become very expert in so many things, in trying to manage our life, our time, our consciousness, our mind, in relationships and like that. These are all like byproducts. But then when we are able to manage all of that, then what comes? We have a lot of time. And then when we have a lot of time, again we switch back to our old habits. So that's called complacency. So that is a big trap which we should be careful about. Then lesson number 3, seva. And in this regard, Demoness Surasa, she came in between Hanumanji to accomplish the mission. So what does this Surasa represent? What was she doing? She was opening her mouth, you know, 20 yojanas, 50, 60, 80. She widened open her mouth 80 yojanas. So this demoness Surasa, she represents in our seva, what comes? false pride. When false pride creeps in our seva, yes, we become expert. We can chant 4 rounds, we can chant 8 rounds, we can chant 16 rounds, and then you know we start progressing in our sadhana bhakti. Then after the sadhana, then there is seva. Then we can, you know, render such services that big projects we can handle, like our Hanumanji was accomplishing huge when, you know, the bridge was being made. Hanumanji was contributing huge boulders, you know, not just stones or pebbles, but huge boulders, and that's how the major contribution in that seva of building the bridge was of Hanumanji. So like that. But then the danger is surasa comes in between, false pride. I am doing this for Ram. I am accomplishing this for Ram. If I am not there, who will ask about the Lord? I am the one who is doing all that. So this I, me and mine is the false pride. So this ego, if you observe closely in this particular image, it's always active. See this? Sometimes we may think that our ego is just somewhere in my consciousness, in my existence, passively sitting. No, it's like a virus. When the virus enters into our system, it doesn't just silently, passively sit. Sometimes AIDS virus, it takes, you know, they have the incubation period. It takes many years for it to take its effect. But it's not that all those years, the incubation period, that virus is silently sitting somewhere observing your good health. No, that virus is preparing an army. So ego is that virus which prepares itself using all the anarthas, other anarthas. Using envy, using lust, using greed, using pride. So this, yeah, of course, pride itself, using all of this to destroy our Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the weapon which can destroy, or the medicine for this false pride is humility or Vinaya. In the Bhagavad Gita, that verse Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanna. That we can have that equal vision of seeing Krishna and Krishna's element everywhere, not just with Vidya, because Vidya will give you pride. But Sampanna, kiske saath Sampanna hai? Vidya Vinaya Sampanna. Vinaya means humility. So, this example is given that our false pride is like a bloated balloon. And when you see a bloated balloon, then you know, it looks very big and huge. But kuch nahi, it's all just air inside. There is no substantial thing inside. So sometimes we may render great Herculean tasks and accomplish great things for the Lord. But if there is false pride, then it's just like a big huge balloon which has no substance in it. And humility is like a, you know, very small little pin or needle. Even though that small little pin or needle cannot be even seen, but has a power to do what it's doing, to just blast it out and finish off the entire false pride. So that is like this word humility. The Latin, the origin of this word humility comes from the word humus, and humus means soil. Actually in Latin, humus, that word means soil. So from that soil grows our real devotional qualities. The soil of humility. Just like you may have a seed, you may have water, you may have sunlight, but if there is no soil, what is the use? and the soil has to be fertile. So that fertile soil is compared to humility. Now, lesson number 4. Sangha and Simhika, this particular demoness, what she did, as I explained, that she had that mystic power that she could catch hold of someone's shadow, and the person or the object flying could not fly further. So the nature of Simhika, she exemplifies envy. Envy means she was just like she was holding on to the shadow of Hanumanji. So envy in our heart, it only holds on to the dark side of the other person. What is shadow? Shadow is the dark side of someone. So when we have envy in our heart, it is like Simhika trying to hold on to the dark side of the other person. Knowing very well that we also have even darker than that person's side. And therefore, in the Niti Shastra, it is explained, envy or jealousy is like poison. There is a verse in Niti which explains that an envious person is more dangerous than even a serpent, a poisonous snake. Because a poisonous snake has poison only in its fangs. But an envious person has poison of that envy all over in his consciousness and existence. In his actions, in his words, in his thoughts, in his desires, consciousness, everywhere. Like, Winston Churchill was one of the prime ministers of England. So Winston Churchill had a bad blood with one lady called Lady Astor, again from England. Both were on high positions, but you will find always people on high position envious of each other. A high profile person will never be envious of a beggar, and a beggar will never be envious of some very high profile person. He'll be envious of another beggar. Usko ek rupya kaise jyada mere se mila bheek mein, like that. So this Winston Churchill and Lady Astor had loggerheads. So this is just an example of how envy, what it does. So this Lady Astor, she sent a message to Winston Churchill, and she wrote in that message, if I were your wife, I would have administered you poison on the first day of our marriage. So he replied back, Winston Churchill, and if I would have married you, I would have definitely taken that poison. This is called envy now. Again, talking about poison and envy. So here in Simhika, she has that kind of mentality. Just looking for the shadows, looking for the dark side, fault finding like that. So, dosha drishti as it is called. Now, what did Hanuman do with that? Envy is something which you cannot use in Ram service. Pride can be used. There is false pride and there is true pride. False pride is, I am what I am. True pride is, I am the servant of the Supreme Lord. That is true pride. But envy cannot be used in the service of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, envy has to be killed. It cannot be dovetailed. So what Hanumanji did with Simhika, didn't just play around and please her or appease her, finished her. So by killing of Simhika, Hanumanji is teaching us the lesson that envy, don't play around with envy, don't let it have cultivated in your heart, destroy it, nip it out from the root, uproot it from there. So this is the fourth lesson. The fifth, four lessons? No. Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. So in regards to Sangha, yeah. In regards to Sangha, it is explained that envy takes place only in Sangha. I forgot to mention that point. So the lesson was of Sangha, and envy cannot take place if you are living alone. Envy can only take place when you live with people, when you associate with people. So these are the three cardinal principles of bhakti. First is Shastra. Studying of Shastra purifies our intelligence. If we think that we are very intelligent, just open the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we will come to know what is our intelligence level. So our mundane, impure, putrefied intelligence can be purified when we study the Shastras. Sankirtan purifies the mind. When we chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord, it purifies the mind. And Sangha purifies the false ego. Yeah, we may say that I don't have any envy or any false ego in me as long as we don't live in Sangha. And when we are put in Sangha, in association of many people with so many different backgrounds and hues and colors and habits and all of that, then we, our real level, bolta kaun kitne pani mein, samajh mein aata hai. Our real level. Therefore, it is explained that in Kali Yuga, it is considered to be a very, very great accomplishment that if people can stay together happily, beginning from a family, forget about a big, huge Sangha, a community like that. Because in previous Yugas, people had lot of prowess and all of that. And in Kali Yuga, the Shakti, it is said, Kalau Sanghe Shakti. In Kali Yuga, the Shakti is in Sangha. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's been glorified, he says that his Shastra is Sangho Pangastra Parshadam. His Shastra is his Parshad, his association, his associate, sorry. And that is what the prominence in regards to how we can purify this envy and false ego is when we live in association with devotees who are struggling like us. Otherwise, anyone can perform or chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord alone in seclusion in the Himalayas in some caves. Even that is impossible, but taking into account the false ego and envy. So that is very important that Sangha purifies the false ego. Now, lesson number 5 is Prachar. And the demoness Lankini, she exemplifies opposition in Prachar. And in ISKCON, we have experienced this in a very, very graphic manner. Wherever, mostly 99.9% the preaching all over the world in ISKCON, always there was some kind of opposition. And opposition, not because, you know, some disturbance was being caused to them. The opposition was that why the Hare Krishnas are happy. Yeah, that was the opposition. That how can they afford to be happy when we are miserable? And I'm not exaggerating. In the West, when people would see Hare Krishna devotees happily, you know, there was one Sankirtan. Sankirtan means Nagar Sankirtan. Wherein, you know, on the streets with Mridang and Kartal, devotees are chanting the holy names of the Lord. And there was a teenage couple. And this teenage couple was observing So the brahmacharis and the men are having one particular group, and behind, like some 10 yards behind, the ladies are having the separate group, they are also chanting. And this teenage couple holding each other, so they are wondering, men are separate, women are separate, and both are so happy. And I am bloody holding her miserable now. Like somebody sent me a message recently that one person went to Kumbh Mela, and in Kumbh Mela he's praying to the Almighty, ये भगवान कुंभ के मेले में भाई भाई को ही क्यों आप बिछड़ने को लगाते हो, कभी कभार पति पत्नी पर भी कृपा किया करो. So you know this teenage couple, that boy, it was his spontaneous outburst that how come they are separate and they are happy. And then he saw that first block, they crossed some few blocks and they were chanting Hare Krishna. And after 2 hours, these devotees were chanting, having that Harinam Sankirtan for 2 hours. After 2 hours, again he saw. So he went somewhere else and he saw some other street, some other market area, the same group. And then he heard them and he tapped one devotee. You are still singing the same song? So that was another surprise. कि तुम एक ही गाना 2 घंटे से गा रहे हो और इतना मजा आ रहा है तुमको. हमको बार बार चैनल चेंज करता रहना पड़ता है. बोर हो गया ये गाना, दूसरा गाना, ये गाना हो गया. So the same song you have been singing for 2 hours. He said, not just for 2 hours, I have been singing the same song 20 years. 20 years. And I'm still blissful. So, of course, we can go on and on and on. The oppositions, the kind of, in Kali Yuga, the oppositions also which come, like there was one temple in America, and some Christian nuns, they filed a case against ISKCON in the court. It was a very unusual case. So the nuns, you know what nuns are. So the nuns, they filed a case against ISKCON in the court. And what was the case? That they are worshipping a god who has some 16,000 wives. So it's highly immoral. What kind of god is this having 16,000 wives? So this was, it came in court. Now the judge and who knows Krishna and 16,000 wives. So these nuns are accusing, so the judge asked, the nuns are accusing you, asked the Hare Krishna devotee, that you are worshipping a god who has 16,000, is it right? So the devotee said, no, it is not right. So he asked the nun, he is saying it is not right. So the Hare Krishna devotee said, it is not right because our Krishna married not 16,108. And the judge, what? Yeah, she missed out 108. So what do you have to say? How can you justify that your god is like that, moral, and you are worshipping someone? What kind of god is this? So this Hare Krishna devotee was very intelligent. He was also a Christian before he became Hare Krishna devotee. So he knew what Christianity is all about. So he told to the judge, okay, so this nun who has accused our Krishna for marrying 16,000, you ask her that when a nun joins a nunnery, nunnery means their brahmacharini ashram, because the nuns remain like that, alone in nunneries. So when a nun joins a nunnery, what is the first vow she takes? And the judge asked. So, asked the nun. What is the first vow you take when you join the nunnery? The first vow every nun takes, I am married to Jesus. And then the Hare Krishna devotee calculated. So, how many nuns are there all over the world? So, if you say Krishna is immoral, he married 16,108, then Jesus, according to these vows which these nuns take, Jesus have married millions and millions and will be marrying millions and millions, will be joining as nuns. So, these kind of oppositions, there was in Malaysia it happened. One particular group, they again went to the court. And they said that these Hare Krishnas are worshipping, you know, demons. So what do you mean demons? And they showed the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that Krishna, he himself says, Daityanam Prahladasmi. That amongst the Daityas, I am Prahlad. Which means Prahlad was born in a demon family. But Krishna is saying that because he was a devotee, so he is exemplifying that. So it was taken out of context that. So like that, opposition, and Srila Prabhupada met with so many oppositions. Mostly the oppositions which Srila Prabhupada met was in India. Forget about the West. Our own Indians, glorious. Opposing. And even over here, when initially we started our preaching, many people from all around came. And they came that, you know, what kind of temple is this? You know, you have your programs at your time. We can't participate. I said, what do you mean our time? You have your Mangalarti 5 o'clock in the morning. So, you have fixed a time of your own. I said, no, this is the time mentioned in the scriptures. You don't know the scripture, that is your problem. In the scriptures it is mentioned that Mangalarti of the Lord has to be in the Brahma Murt time. And like that they had a list of all the complaints that, you know, we don't feel like, you know, coming to your temple because you have your own program set. I said, these are the programs set by the Lord. If you have any complaints, go to the Lord and lodge a complaint to him. So it was going back and forth like that. And they were all, you know, Hindus. So I said that you all have come over here and you have this complaint. How many of you lodged a complaint when in the middle of the street someone has built a mosque? Concrete tar road in between they built a mosque. So I said, aap pehle jaake unko bolo, bum banana band kare, kyunki hum aapas mein lad mar ke khatam karne wale ek dusron ko. So this is the plight, the unfortunate situation in India, sorry to say that. So the opposition which comes in the mission of uniting Sita with Ram is Lankini. That ugly, grotesque looking, we saw that Lankini? Ugly, grotesque looking, you know, pot-bellied, fat Lankini. This is the opposition in this age of Kali Yuga in regards to the preaching mission. Now, again, the four jewels which are ornamenting the beautiful personality of Hanumanji. So Hanumanji, although a brahmachari, but he is ornamented by these wonderful ornaments. The first is drishti, which is farsightedness. The second is mati, that is intelligence. Third is daksham, that is skill. And fourth is dhriti, that is courage. So in crossing the ocean and encountering these obstacles like Mainak, Surasa, Simhika, Lankini, how Hanumanji, he has exemplified again these four wonderful jewel-like qualities. So let's take the first one, jewel number one, drishti. Drishti means far-sightedness. So when Mainak came, herein we have the example of Mainak again. So when Mainak presented himself, So Hanumanji had the durdrishti, as they say, far-sightedness. Far-sightedness means right now he is offering me some comfort. But that comfort which this Mainak is offering me right now will create a discomfort in my service. That's called being far-sighted. And therefore, a devotee or a human being who has taken up to Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, he is the person who can see so much ahead, you know, far-sighted, having a sight so far. Like in this material world, a person whom you would call it far-sighted. Somebody who plans out 10 years from now, some mutual scheme, something like that. 20 years from now, kitna paisa iska double, triple hoga. Kya mera bachcha bada hoke kaun si university mein kya karega? Is that called far-sightedness? Like, you know, in a village there was one small boy. His name was Dhechu. So Dhechu was asked by his chacha, "Dhechu, pata, bada hoke kya karega?" Dhechu bolta hai, "Shadi." To chacha poochta hai, "Are, mera matlab hai, bada hoke kya banega?" "Dula." "Are, bada hoke kya hasil karega?" "Dulan." "Are, mummy papa ke liye kya karega?" "Bahu launga." "Bala, are, mummy papa kya chahte hain?" "Tujhse, pota." "Bala, abe kambakht idiot, tere jeevan ka maksad kya hai?" "Hum do, hamare do, jab tak ki tisra na ho." So at the most, in this material world, when we talk about somebody being far-sighted, at that point of time, that's it. So a devotee is undergoing whatever little discomfort right now, knows that the parinama is amrita upamam. But a vishayi person is right now appearing everything to be amrita, but pariname vishameva, Krishna mentions. The end is all poisonous. So Hanumanji had that drishti. So what we learn from Hanumanji's example is, when facilities and complacencies like that come, we should be far-sighted, having that dur drishti. Then the jewel number two is mati, and this is in regards to surasa. That surasa, Hanumanji used intelligence, that this particular demoness, she is going to, if I just, you know, remain over here and, you know, have a kind of argument and fight with this particular demoness, I am going to waste her time and my time. So therefore, better I use my intelligence. And using my intelligence, I will just do the needful, please, that surasa for which. And then she gave the ashirvad to Hanumanji, that we saw that, you know, may you accomplish vijayi bhava, like that. So in our devotional service also, we have to perform our devotional service with intelligence, with this proper mati which Hanumanji is teaching. Then jewel number three is daksham, which is skills, and which Hanumanji used in destroying the demoness Simhika. He used his skill in order to overpower that envious demoness. And jewel number four, we find that dhriti or courage which Hanumanji used in destroying Lankini. So in preaching, we have to be fearless. As Prabhupada said, a lion at chase but lamb at home. We have to be fearless like a lion when it comes to preaching. So Hanumanji was fearless. No matter what may come, I am here. And although it was for the first time Hanumanji is entering into such a fortified city made of gold, that too of Ravan, how courageously Hanumanji entered, and not just entered but burnt it all. That was the courage of Hanumanji. That one person burnt the entire Lanka of Ravan. So that was the courage in regards to preaching. So the secret 5-point formula. Now, with these 5 lessons and 4 jewels of Hanumanji, is the first, service attitude. The service attitude which Hanumanji had, that I have to simply serve my beloved Lord Ram unconditionally. That is the first formula. A person might have service attitude, but what is the use of having service attitude with no enthusiasm? So service attitude clubbed with enthusiasm is better. Better is to have it with intelligence. Service attitude, enthusiasm clubbed with intelligence, and intelligence should be with competence, which Hanumanji had the competence. And the best is to have the last one, of course the others, that is character. So this is the complete personality of Hanumanji. Service attitude, enthusiasm clubbed with intelligence, competence and character. So the secret of success, now people are so much into what is the secret of success of someone. So here is the secret of success which we learn from Hanumanji, these two things, character and competence. In this material world, nowadays people only look for competence. Of course, now people have understood that if a person doesn't have a character, what are the repercussions of that? Even in the corporate world, they are looking for people. Like in America, they prefer to give jobs to Indians first and the last is Americans. Why? Because they know that Indians, at least they have some character, some loyalty, some fidelity, truthfulness. So even that has been valued. So yes, you know, to spread the mission of the Supreme Lord, one needs proper character but also competence. So simply one and not having the other will not accomplish. So Hanumanji was having both. And what challenges character? Facilities. When facilities again like Mainak comes, that is a challenge wherein the character can be put at stake. And laziness can challenge our competence. We may be competent, but then if we are just like the story of the rabbit and the tortoise. The rabbit was competent but lazy. And our poor tortoise was not competent but was very active. And he won the race. It's a very powerful story actually. So herein Hanumanji exemplifies these two wonderful qualities of character and competence. Now if we see that having that physical prowess, we always, whenever Hanumanji's image comes in our consciousness, we always see Hanumanji as a very, very powerful personality, physically very powerful. But Hanumanji, apart from physically very being powerful, he was super sensitive. That is very important. Power with sensitivity is a very rare combination nowadays in this material world. And that is what Hanumanji is. Power with super sensitivity. So beginning with Ravan now. So Hanumanji super sensitivity dealing with Ravan. When Hanumanji first time saw Lanka, Hanumanji was impressed when he saw Lanka. And immediately Hanumanji thought that only if this Ravan becomes a devotee of Ram, how much service he can render with this Sone Ki Lanka, how much service he can render to Lord Ram. Immediately Hanumanji super sensitivity in regard, as a preacher. You know, when a preacher sees something, Sone Ki Lanka, immediately, how it can be used in the service of Madan Gopalji or in the service of Lord Ram, immediately thinks. So, Srila Prabhupada gave this example. He said, you Americans, you have so much opulence. Your opulence is like Ravan ki Lanka. You know, Sone ki Lanka. It is like Sone ki Lanka. It is like gold. But when you use that gold in the service of Lord Ram, then that gold gets fragrance. Otherwise, gold is not a fragrant metal. There is no fragrance in gold. But Prabhupada said that when opulence used in Lord's service, it is like gold, fragrant gold. And then Prabhupada said, if that opulence or that gold is not used, then that gold is like yellow stool. Looks golden. Stinking. So opulence not used in Ram service, Prabhupada said, is like yellow stool. It looks very shiny, golden. But then that opulence used in Ram service is fragrant gold. So herein, Hanumanji, when he met with Ravan also, he was very impressed, Ravan's prowess and all that. And his only desire was, only if this Ravan becomes a devotee. And he introduced himself. When Ravan asked, what is your introduction? When they, you know, made him captive before he burnt the Lanka. So Hanumanji, he introduced himself, Dasoham Kaushalendra. He introduced himself like that. That I am the Das. He didn't say that. I am that great powerful Hanuman who crossed 100 yojanas. He said, Dasoham, I am the Das of Kaushalendra. The Indra, the controller, the king of Kaushal Des, which means Lord Ram. So he wanted to give Ram as it is to Ravan. That is the super sensitivity of Hanumanji, even when he knew that this Ravan had kidnapped Sita. But he was still wishing that this Ravan should become Ram Bhakta. Then Hanuman's super sensitivity dealing with Sita. Hanuman first time is meeting Sita, mind this now. And we saw that he has the mudrika given by Lord Ram. So Hanumanji, he just with open palm, that mudrika keeps in his open palm. And he just presents it to Sita. He doesn't hand over it to Sita. Valmiki Ramayana mentions that he tells Sita, you pick it up. Who am I to give you something? That is a mood. Now he has done such a Herculean task. This is what I have brought. You know, dekho. Pehla mereko dekho, phir jo laya usko dekho. Not like that. So the super sensitivity is that who am I to give you something? You kindly take it from me. And something which Hanumanji spoke to Sita, that Hanumanji was thinking that Sita, it has been such a long time. Sita is alone over here. She has no news of Ram. So when Sita, she asks about Lord Ram to Hanumanji, Hanumanji gives an answer, he thinks, and he gives an answer which gives pain to Sita and pleasure to Sita simultaneously. That's how super sensitive Hanumanji is in dealing with Sita. So when Sita Devi is asking Hanumanji, how is my Ram? So Hanumanji answers, he says, every night Lord Ram gets up in the middle calling out your names, crying, thinking about you. Now this answer is giving pleasure to Sita that he's still loving me as he used to. And is giving pain to Sita that because of this separation from me, he is crying so much. So why Hanumanji gave that kind of an answer? To give some confidence to Sita that Lord Ram is equally missing you as you are missing him. And he's working hard to come to rescue you. And that was the confidence, that was the pleasure. And along with that, you know, Hanumanji was making sure to Sita Devi that, you know, he is also in pain, just like you are in pain. So you also have that consciousness that you want to get out of there. Don't be allured by the pleasures of Ashok Vatika. And at the end, then Hanumanji tells to Sita something very touching. Hanumanji tells to Sita that he sees Sita Devi has some doubts as to how, you know, Lord Ram, he is alone just with Lakshman. How will Lord Ram reach Lanka, and this Ravan is so powerful? So Hanumanji saw that kind of doubt in Sita Devi. So Hanumanji is saying, I am over here. And you know, I am just an insignificant messenger in the entire army of Lord Ram. And Hanumanji is saying that when a king sends a messenger with a message to some other province, so he picks up the most invalid person. जो किसी काम का नहीं है उसको messenger बना के भेजते हैं. जो जनरल होता है उसको मैसेंजर बना के नहीं भेजते, उसको युद्ध के लिए यूज करते. सो हनुमान जी इज रीअश्योरिंग सीता देवी, जस्ट सी दैट अ इनसिग्निफिकेंट मैसेंजर, अ डिलीवरी बॉय, आई एम अ डिलीवरी बॉय, आई एम अ पोस्टमैन ब्रिंगिंग इन सम मैसेज टू यू. आई क्रॉस्ड 100 योजनास अलोन. इफ आई एम इनसिग्निफिकेंट मैसेंजर कैन डू, व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ द अदर्स हु आर देयर. Now this is humility. Now who are there waiting? Some tiny monkeys, you know, didn't know anything. Hanumanji was the only one actually who was so powerful. But he is introducing himself, I am the insignificant messenger. If I could do, what to speak of the other armies? Reinstilling confidence in Sita. That is a super sensitivity of Hanumanji in dealing with the psychologies of Ravan and Sita whilst he is in Lanka. And at the end, Hanumanji's super sensitivity dealing with Lord Ram. How we see this? When after accomplishing, knowing about Sita, whereabouts, and burning the Lanka, another good quality of Hanumanji is that Lord Ram, he sent Hanumanji to just give this message to Sita. So a devotee, he always wants to do extra. I'll do something extra. So what extra? I'll give the message. Burn the Lanka. Example deke aa jata hu. What's coming up? Coming soon. It's a sample of that. So a devotee who is wanting to serve Lord Ram, he always wants to do something extra. So now Hanumanji is returning back. So this is the scene. Hanumanji is returning back to Lord Ram. So he is flying. Again he is flying back. Pavanputra Airways. He is flying back. And in air, Hanumanji is thinking that how will I... Now good news. It's a good news. He has found Sita and he has reassured Sita. Everything. It's good news. Now sometimes we are in this, you know, we have some good news to break to someone. Kisi ko bahut acha khush khabri sunani to kaise sunana usko kuch hai na sahi tarike se samajh mein aaye. So here is our acharyas explained that Hanumanji was thinking, how should I start the statement that, you know, the good news is Sita has been found. So how to start this statement? So first Hanumanji, he thought, I will say like this, I found Sita. But then Hanumanji said, no, because Ram is so anxious, he is waiting for me. If I start the statement with I, and by the time I complete that statement, I found Sita, Hanumanji will, Lord Ram will be so anxious that he will start thinking that Hanumanji is saying, I failed. He might think like that. So I should not start my statement with I. So then he thought, I'll start the statement with Sita. Sita, I found. But then Hanumanji thought that if I start with Sita, then again Lord Ram will become more anxious. Sita, what happened? Is she alive? Immediately Lord Ram will be so anxious. So Hanumanji then, just when he was about to reach now Lord Ram's place, so very intelligently, with super sensitivity, this is what he said, which makes no grammatical sense. This statement makes no grammatical sense, but it makes sense from the devotional point of view. What was the statement he made? Found! Which means this one word, when I say first, that will relieve Lord Ram of all the anxiety. Found! Sita, I. Doesn't make any sense grammatically. It's all just, you know. So therefore, a devotee, materially, he wants to be like a fool in front of the Lord. Now Hanumanji, Ashta Siddhi Navan Nidhike Data. He is the giver of Ashta Siddhi. But in front of Lord Ram, he is presenting himself as a total, you know, person who doesn't even know how to speak proper grammar. But if that pleases Ram, that is what it is. That is my life. My life is to please Lord Ram. Whether in front of Lord Ram, I am a fool number one, I am okay for that. So this is how, with such super sensitivity, Hanumanji, when he's in midair, he's thinking, how will he divulge this good news? And when he does that, what does he receive? What is the remuneration which Hanumanji gets for this wonderful service? Lord Ram says, Hanuman, what you have done for me, I have nothing over here. I am just a vanachari. I don't have anything. You know, I have left my kingdom, my family, my possessions, my belongings. I have nothing. The only thing which I have is my embrace. And Lord Ram embraces Hanumanji. And that is what a devotee wants. A devotee doesn't want any of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. The devotee only wants Lord Ram's embrace. So this is what Hanumanji teaches. Just from this one episode of crossing the ocean, giving the message of Lord Ram as it is to Sita, and coming back and reporting it to Lord Ram with this particular disposition of Hanumanji, filled with character and competence and consciousness, he receives the embrace of the Lord. And Lord Ram is asking Hanumanji that, Hanuman, I want to give you something when I become the king. When I want to give you something, a great gift I want to give you. So ask something. So Hanumanji's only one desire which he asked from Lord Ram. This is something very, very touching. Hanumanji asked from Lord Ram, if you want, the only thing which I want, don't take me back to Godhead. Don't take me to the spiritual world, Hanumanji is saying. And Lord Ram asked, why? This is what a sadhaka is desiring. Every, you know, bhakt of mine wants to come back to my spiritual abode. And Hanumanji said, no, I don't want to come. I want to remain in this material world, because after your pastimes, your Ram Katha will go on. The wonderful pastimes which you have performed, the Ram Katha will go on. And I want to be in all those places wherever Ram Katha goes on. I want to be there to listen to your Ram Katha. Because I came into your pastimes at a very later stage. And all those pastimes which you had performed before, you know, I met you, I want to hear those pastimes and also these pastimes which you have performed after I have met you. So this is my only aspiration. And Lord Ram, he benedicted Hanumanji with this particular boon, that wherever Ram Katha will go on, eternally, therefore Hanumanji is one Chiranjeev. that wherever Ram Katha goes on, Hanumanji is there, submissively listening, hearing, teaching us the mood in which we should be, that life is meant to just serve the Supreme Lord Shri Ram unconditionally, without any conditions, without any ifs, without any buts. It's only unconditional love which will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai Bajrang Bali Hanuman Ji Ki!
Jai!
So at this point of time, this was my long cherished desire to sing Hanuman Chalisa. So if you all wish, we would be singing Hanuman Chalisa at this point of time. So we'll be singing together because it's a long one. And all of you know Hanuman Chalisa, the melody and everything. So it is something which is very, very popular all over India. It's something which every child from the childhood is raised whilst hearing Hanuman Chalisa and chanting Hanuman Chalisa. And just before that, quick announcement about tomorrow. Tomorrow we are having a special Bhagavatam class in the morning. Just carrying forward the mood of Hanumanji, we'll be having this topic for tomorrow's Bhagavatam class, from conditional surrender to unconditional surrender. So that will be our Srimad Bhagavatam class tomorrow morning. And tomorrow evening we have a group coming from our Govardhan farm at Wada, and they will be performing a drama. And what drama it will be, you have to come to see. It will be something wonderful. They had come, if you remember, they had come once before. They had performed the Tukaram drama. So this time they have something new which they have come up with. So tomorrow, our Sunday program, they will be performing that drama in the evening. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Ram. We'll open later. Nahi to khol do. जय श्री राधा मदन गोपाल जी की
हरे कृष्णा देयर इज अनाउंसमेंट जस्ट नाउ वी हर्ड द एक्सॉल्टेड कैरेक्टर ऑफ हनुमान जी So we are having very wonderful book on life and characters of Hanumanji in our bookstall, and it's specially published after the instruction of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So we request all the devotees to kindly go through the book, which we are having very inspiring stories which are not found in Ramayana, and many prayers to Hanumanji. So you can go through the book. And again, one reminder for all the parents, those who are having their kids with them, we request them to take prasadam with your kids or your children's. So they should not waste prasadam, and there should be proper cleaning of the plates. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Sri Guru Charan Saroj Raj Nij Man Mukur Sudhari Baranaur